Welcome back to the Tip TV Finance Show, sponsored by Trade Signaler, and with my co-host, who is Mike Ingram, a strategist at BGC Partners. There are many of you, aren't there, BGC Partners?
Many, but there is only one Mike Ingram strategist.
Yes, and there's probably only one Richard Perry, although you sound like
there isn't. But yeah, okay.
Handtech Markets. Yeah. There's more.
No, there's just me at Handtech, but there is another Richard Perry in the States.
What does he do?
Technical analysis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very, I know.
Probably an inferior.
I know.
Almost certainly.
Anyway, you're currently a market analyst for Handtech Markets. Let's try and do some analysing.
Let's go.
Right. First chart.
Yeah. A sort of bit of a commodities theme, really, at the moment I wanted to go with today, because basically, obviously, within the last sort of week or so, we've just seen the dollar just starting to strengthen a little bit in front of Jackson Hole. And that has had an impact across the commodities space. I think oil being prime example here, whereby we've seen that run up on the back of the not only the dollar weakness but also the potential for a production freeze at this Algerian meeting of OPEC, non-OPEC next month. But we've now just seen that sort of coming off the top, and I think a few technical signals would suggest we're starting to see a little bit of corrective pressure. Now, we've got a key support, I think, 4680, which is not only that around about that 61.8% Fib level, but also a key breakout level that has become a bit of a pivot as well, as you can see, since April, May, and also July. So that is a level that the market is, I think, looking at near term. And I think if it breaks below that, I think that obviously the next real support comes in around that 50% Fib level. And I think a lot of people are actually sort of talking about ranging between sort of 45 and 50 now on oil, on WTI. So it'll be interesting to see if it can hold on to that level if it does continue to break, because the last couple of days it started to come under a little bit of pressure. You've had the production numbers out of Saudi Arabia just moving to record levels, yeah. But also you had the EIA oil inventories report showing not only is the US starting to increase production again, but also the inventories build is coming, starting to come through again after a long period of actually inventory drawdown. So it's interesting that we're starting to see this coming through now, and I think that could put a bit of downside pressure in front of this.
Depends on the next meeting. Baker Hughes rig count, doesn't it?
Well, Baker Hughes has now been sort of starting to add rigs as well, isn't it? Yeah. So it's all adding into this whole oversupply.
That count's been moving up since the end of May, actually, and it seems to be accelerating. It was quite interesting. Also saw Bloomberg leading with an article from an oil strategist saying that he saw oil collapsing to the sort of 25 to 30 range. And so obviously bears feel that they might be onto something, because I haven't heard anybody coming out with those sort of numbers for quite some time.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that. I think Goldman's was saying the other day 45 to 50. Mm. I think it seems to be fairly sort of neutrally taken across the board. I think obviously you've said that there are some people calling for a big sell down. It is possible, because certainly the production freeze is not going to happen. I can't see that happening. Obviously we've had that big rally from 39.20, basically on the rumours of that production freeze coming through. So buy on the rumour, sell on the fact, I think, is going to be the case, I think, on oil at the moment. I think you'd be lucky if it holds on to that 45 level at the moment, because I think these production oversupply issues are going to come in back into play.
Right. I'm so glad I'm not doing this, because it would be my mean and moody photo on the left, and I think that would put everybody off, wouldn't it, really?
No comment.
All right, okay, next.
What can I say? Surely you have a nice mug.
I don't have a mean and moody photo like that. That's very good, actually. That's nice.
It's quite soft focus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Helpfully.
Backlight.
Have you just used that? Is that just for financial things?
Or I'm not actually wearing a shirt, either.
All right. Oh, right, okay. Right.
You don't even ask what you're wearing. Exactly. Your
exactly, yes. Okay, right. Next market then, if we can just
move on. Please.
Yeah, gold, again, playing into this just corrective theme on commodities, because obviously we've had both precious metals that I follow on a consistent basis, gold and silver, sort of just moving lower in the last couple of days. Gold breaking below 1330 and silver chart, which I'll show in a minute, below 1920. So these are near-term levels that would suggest you're still in a corrective near-term phase. I think gold remains, as you can see, in this nice big uptrend channel, just correcting back to the breakout. I think 1306, that is your key support. I think 1300 to 1310 area, I think that is a key level the market will be looking out for in the wake of Jackson Hole. If Yellen comes out with any sort of hawkish lean, which it is a possibility, although I think it's still unlikely that they'll do any sort of move before December at the very earliest, if not into 2017.
There's two things that never happen. OPEC agreeing on production cuts and Janet Yellen coming up with anything hawkish. I mean, it's just you can't see it, can you?
It's interesting because obviously in the last couple of weeks you've had Fed members that are very, or seem to be very close to her in alignment, I think, coming out with more hawkish statements. And whether that, and you look at the likes of Fisher, Dudley and Williams, I think are just coming out with the potential for Yellen to maybe say something a little bit more interesting other than just sitting on the fence as she normally does. So I think we're still not going to see a Fed rate hike in front of December. And I think ultimately, I think gold will continue to push higher because I think the Fed is still going to remain on this sort of looser for longer. It is on a tightening path, yes, but I think it's going to continue to underwhelm in that path. And I think that's going to underpin gold and underpin sort of negative real interest rates as well. So that is all supportive for gold going forward.
Okay, next market.
Again, that's the breakdown on silver below 1920. That actually gives you a technical downside target of around about $1.60, which isn't a million miles off that uptrend channel, or uptrend, I should say. You've got that 1780 to 18 figure. That 1780 was, I think, March 2015, a big breakout level there. So it's a big band of support there from old highs that will come in and being used as support. And the interesting thing on this chart is this 89-day moving average. 1, 2, 3 times it's been used as a key basis of support in 2016. It's the fourth time it's come back towards this level, so will it start to provide the basis of support again? You've got that key sort of breakout range, 1780 to 18 figure again. So it'll be very interesting to see if it can start to hold up around these levels and sort of consistent with gold around that sort of 1306 breakout level that we had. And gold and silver do tend to move fairly much in tandem, although obviously you do seem to get silver being a little bit more of a high octane move, but they are sort of both coming back towards key supports.
Okay, I'm not sure if we've got one more market to go.
Yeah, just wanted to look very quickly at the DAX, because again, this is a play on the sort of moves in front of the Fed. The strong dollar is generally seen to be sort of corrective for equity markets. Not only that, you've got the playing into the commodities space. I know the DAX isn't that well aligned to commodities prices because there's no real commodity player in the DAX, but still it is a global growth play. And I think the DAX just coming off the top there, it's now putting pressure on that uptrend channel. It looks as though that key support band 10.365 to 10.474 is going to come under pressure now. And again, that is your key breakout level. That is your key support that you need to watch on the DAX. If you start to break below 10.365, I think you could see an increasingly corrective move. But certainly the momentum indicators still remain positively configured on a medium-term basis. Stochastics just coming back towards 50, RSI coming back towards 50. Again, if those levels can hold, then I think you're still looking fairly solid on upside on the DAX, but you need to see these supports holding.
So just is the whole issue with all these markets just a pause ahead of Jackson Hole?
I think ultimately that is what we are seeing on markets.
Continue where they were going before?
It would appear that certainly equity markets are on the upwards trend. And I think at the moment the DAX is holding on to that, but it is threatening. It needs to obviously hold on to these supports, as I said.
Right, thank you very much. The superior version of Richard Perry, market analyst for Hantech Markets. Thank you very much for
coming. You are kind.
We'll be back after the break.